Somewhere in La Mancha, in a village whose name I have no wish to recall, there lived not so long ago one of those gentlemen who keeps a lance in the lance rack, an old buckler, a lean old horse, and a hunting dog. A casserole, more of beef than mutton, a salad on most nights, scraps on Saturdays, lentils on Fridays, and a pigeon or so extra on Sundays, made away with three quarters of his income. You must know, then, that this aforementioned gentleman, whenever he was at leisure, spent his time reading books of chivalry with such ardor and keenness that he almost entirely neglected the pursuit of his field sports and even the management of his property. And such intense level did his eagerness and obsession reach that he sold many an acre of his cultivated land to buy books on chivalry to read. Invented, crossed out, rejected, added to, unmade, and remade a multitude of names out of his memory and imagination, he decided to call him Rocinante, a name, to his way of thinking, lofty, sonorous, and appropriate to his status as an old nag, before he became what he now was, the first and foremost of all the old nags in the world. At this point, they came in sight of 30 or 40 windmills that there are on the plain. And as soon as Don Quixote saw them, he said to his squire, "Fortune is arranging matters for us better than we could have possibly hoped. For look there, Sancho Panza, my friend, where 30 or more monstrous giants are lined up, all of whom I mean to engage in battle and slay, and with whose spoils we shall begin to make our fortunes. For this is a just war, and it is God's good service to sweep so evil a breed from off the face of the earth." Afterwards, Don Quixote noticed a man on horseback who wore on his head something that shone like gold. And the moment he saw him, he turned to Sancho and said,